Good morning. It's good to see an excellent crowd with us this morning. We are delighted to be here for the purposes we're here as we sang that song about what Jesus has done for us. I'm reminded of the prophet's statement in Isaiah 53, by his stripes we are healed. And that is a great blessing we enjoy. As we begin to embark upon a week, this week when traditionally, as Americans at least, we focus on being thankful. Probably not anything more important that we could do as Christians than to constantly focus on being grateful and appreciative for all of the things that we receive, not just the physical blessings, although those are abundant, particularly compared to many, many people in the world, but also the spiritual blessings that we enjoy through Jesus Christ, which are immeasurable and unmatchable. And we are thankful for that. Amy, not her real name, had been shopping most of the day and decided that she wanted a little refreshment. So she stepped into a little coffee shop, decided she'd have a cup of coffee and maybe some cookies. And so she went up to the counter and she ordered her coffee and she picked out one of these little bags of cookies that was up there and paid for them and went to look for a place to sit, but the coffee shop was pretty crowded. So she had to sit down at a table where there was an older gentleman sitting across from her. He nodded to her as she sat down. She put her purse down and put her coffee and her cookies down and realized she needed to get some napkins or some sugar for her coffee or something. Stepped away for a moment. She came back, sat down at the table, reached out and opened a package of cookies and took one out and ate it and drank some of her coffee. And the older gentleman sitting across from her reached out and took one of the cookies and ate it. And she was a little bit taken aback at first. And so she reached out and took another one and ate it and was chewing on it and thinking, well. And he reached out and took another cookie and ate it. And there was one cookie left. And she thought, well, you know, if I'm going to get my cookies. But before she could reach to get it, he reached and got it and broke it in half and handed her half of it. And she ate it and quickly drank the rest of her coffee and thought, well, here's a story for me to share with someone. Got her things and got up rather tersely and nodded to the man and walked away and walked outside and reached into her purse to get her keys and found her bag of cookies. Sometimes we just don't realize when people are trying to do something nice for us. Sometimes we are so focused on self that we don't see right in front of us the gratitude and appreciation and generosity of other people. And we have a hard time accepting that gratitude and that generosity. Sometimes we forget how well God treats us, even when we don't treat Him very well. Moses reminded the nation of Israel as they were about to enter the promised land in one of his last declarations to them in Deuteronomy chapter 8. He said to them, "The Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper, and you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you." And if I'm an Israelite hearing Moses saying this, I'm saying it's about time. But then he goes on. "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. A reminder from Moses to Israel, a reminder from Moses to us today. Everything is a gift from God. Worked upon with our hands many times, yes. But a gift nonetheless, because God is the one who's given us the hands and the energy to do with the things that he blesses us with. And a reminder that we are not very good at appreciating the blessings that we receive. Some time ago, a popular social magazine polled a group of famous people and asked if they could have one wish that would come true immediately, what would it be? One of the answers was most interesting. I wish that I could be given an even greater ability to appreciate all that I already have. Amen? A lesson we need to learn, the art of receiving blessings. Why is it so hard for us to receive things? I think there are a couple of reasons. We have, unfortunately, a distorted view of what the Bible says about servanthood. We think it's all about doing for others. And there is certainly an element of that in it. After all, Jesus said, do unto others, not let others do unto you. But we're missing the proper motivation for our discipleship when we think that way. And we do it all the time. The Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Thessalonians 5, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. He wrote the Ephesians in chapter 5, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do we get that? In all circumstances. All circumstances. Always. For everything. What's that saying to us? That when we're not thankful or feeling blessed, or we're disgusted with the kids or mad at the dog or whatever, there's something we're not seeing. I heard someone describe it in an article that I read as thanks living. It is demanding and rewarding because it sometimes hard to fulfill those words. Philippians 4, Paul said, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. An appreciative, grateful, thankful heart in everything we say to God. I don't know. For me personally, it's hard for me to think about when I pray to God, which is the most important thing for me to say first? Forgive me or thank you? Well, thank you for forgiving me. We're more comfortable giving than receiving. And after all, did not Jesus say, in the words of Paul as he spoke to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, in quoting Jesus, it's more blessed to give than to receive. The fact is, dependency makes us feel vulnerable, and we don't like that. We don't like the fact that we may be dependent on someone else for anything. And that weakness is at the heart of so many of our spiritual struggles and misunderstandings. We believe we're in control of everything, or we ought to try to be. We read a passage like Philippians 2 and verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and think, okay. Paul says it's all up to me. The passage obviously says there's a personal responsibility. There's something we must do. But we take that sign that somehow if we do whatever it is we're supposed to do, that then God must do something in return. That's a misunderstanding. God has already done what he's going to do. The question is whether we will accept and receive gratefully with thankful hearts what he has done. We have no ability to control the greatest impediment to our salvation, the guilt of our sin. There is nothing we can do about that. Nothing. We believe depending on others is a sign of weakness. If you go online and you Google depending on others, you're going to find hundreds, if not thousands, of articles about advising you about how you should never depend on other people. Always depend on yourself. I was amazed. I actually did that. And just list after list after list. Don't depend on other people. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. You control your life. Don't let other people. The Bible teaches that we depend on God and not on man. But the Bible also clearly teaches that people of faith can be a huge help to each other. That is why we're a family. That is the purpose of local churches. A group of like-minded people coming together to love and support and encourage and help each other. That's what we're trying to do. Is it not? The wise man said in Proverbs 11, where there's no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. There is safety when we let others help. The Hebrew writer, in a passage we're very familiar with, says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Paul said to the Thessalonians, encourage one another and build one another up. And to the Philippians, let each of you look only not only to his own interest, but the interests of others. Now how, brethren, can we accomplish those admonitions if we are not willing to accept the encouragement and the blessings and the assistance of others? The New Testament writers also talk about brethren depending on leaders in a church. Peter talks in 1 Peter 5 about the duties of elders to shepherd the flock. And in Hebrews 17, he speaks, the Hebrew writer, to the duty of members to put themselves in subjection to the leadership. How can you do that? If we are bent on an idea that we must be strong and independent of anyone else and their support, how do we do that? I have met people over the years and while I served as an elder who honestly believe that leaders in a local church were superfluous. They were not necessary. I don't need them. And I'll tell you something. It's hard to lead people like that. Seeking the aid of others is not a weakness. It's a strength. Paul wrote to the Galatians in Galatians 6, teaching that we bear each other's burdens and uplift those who are spiritually weak. I'm afraid we read those passages sometimes and go, okay, I got it, Paul. I need to look for weak people to help and never stop to think, I may be one of the ones that needs help. And there are times when all of us fall into that category. So how can we learn to be better receivers? We must be better receivers so that we do not minimize God's grace. The greatest gift available to the spiritually minded is the free gift of salvation that comes by God's grace. But I'm afraid that many people believe somehow we are responsible for God extending His grace to us. The Bible clearly teaches that God's grace is free. That's the meaning of the word grace. Unearned favor. Paul writes in Romans 5, while we were weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. In chapter 9, he writes, what shall we say? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means, for he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So that it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. We have a hard time with that. I've had a hard time with that for a long time. We want to believe that our efforts at discipleship have something to do with our salvation. That what we do in service is what sets us apart. It's what makes us better. It makes us worthy of God's grace. You don't understand the concept of grace. Worthy and grace don't go in the same sentence. We cannot be worthy of grace. Clearly, it is our faith, our response to God's grace, that is the secret to accepting His grace. But the real work of salvation, the paying for the price of sin, we have nothing to do with. Nothing. Jesus did that. Only Jesus could do that. We merely have the opportunity to receive His grace by our faithful obedience. And let's be sure that we understand that that's exactly what we're doing. Receiving a gift. Not earning it in any way. By grace you have been saved through faith. It is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. If we cannot accept the gifts and support of well-meaning human beings and receive their efforts to comfort us and support us, because of the pride that we have in ourselves, we will not be able to accept the gift of God freely given to us through His mercy in Christ. It's essential to becoming good receivers that we give others the opportunity to serve. 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Gifts of God's grace are to be used in service to others. That's why we're blessed. It's an opportunity to encourage and uplift and assist and to have this done to you. Galatians 5 said, Paul says to the Galatians, you were called to freedom, brothers. Only don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Will we refuse to be served? I'm not going to let you do that for me. No, 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 no. Are we going to deny others the opportunity to be good stewards of what God has blessed them with? And when we refuse to be helped, that's what we're doing. If we cannot allow ourselves to be served, we run the risk of not allowing God to serve us. And we deny other Christians the opportunity to serve. We need to learn to be good receivers so that we learn to use the blessings we receive in a proper way. In Genesis chapter 12, when God made those great promises to Abraham, this is one of the things that he said in verse 2. I'll make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Do you get that? He didn't just say, Abraham, I'm going to give you all these great things. He said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you so that you can bless others. So that you, by the things I give you, can extend those to other people. We are blessed in order to give blessings. God doesn't give us blessings for our own use. James says in James chapter 4, this was one of the problems that his audience had. He said, you ask and don't receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You're having a hard time understanding and appreciating how blessed you are and how to use those blessings. Try this. Sit down one night. You'll need a little time. Count all your blessings. And when you get done, count them again because you missed a few. And then invite others to join you in doing that. Share with others the way you have been blessed. When you invite others to join you in being a good receiver of gifts received, and they see how you've been blessed, it is a gift to them. And the proper attitude to have about receiving. Blessings are for us to share with others. Those who learn how to receive God's blessings do so because they understand this is not for me. It's for my use in blessing and serving others. How we wear our blessings, our happiness, our contentment, our prosperity can be a healing balm to those who are in need. It really can. We need to learn to be good receivers so that we rise above a sense of pride and self-sufficiency through a true gratitude of what we receive and thus honor God. Think about that when you use the blessings God gives you. Am I using these things to honor God because it all came from Him? Or am I using it for selfish reasons? Proper gratitude changes us. It makes us open to God's gifts. It makes us open to discipleship. It makes us open to spiritual prosperity that's used the way He directs. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 gives a beautiful image of this kind of attitude. Beginning in verse 7, he says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. He's talking about the gospel. And he was saying, we have this in our human bodies, which are fragile, which decay, which can be persecuted, which will die, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. What a beautiful image to have. As one who was a preacher of the gospel, who had suffered so many awful persecutions and calamities in his life because of what he'd chosen. We were talking about this yesterday morning in our Bible study at Cliff's house. And we discussed the idea of what Paul must have thought at times. I could have avoided all this if I just stayed with my Jewish buddies and never gone to Damascus to persecute those Christians. And my life was laid out before me and it would have all been good. And what did I trade it for? I traded it for, aside from Jesus, the most difficult life of a disciple that is described in Scripture. He traded it all for that. For we who live are always given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake. Paul says, I'm doing this for your benefit. So that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. What an amazing perspective on life. I'm a clay jar. Clay jar doesn't last very long. I'm in today's vernacular, Paul is saying, I'm a dead man walking. I'm doing these things for God's benefit. I'm doing these things for your benefit. And as I have opportunity, though I may die, Christ lives through me, and in the things that I teach from His gospel, you live, and grace is extended more and more, and we are thankful for that because God is glorified. That's the reason for blessings. And that's how God is glorified when we receive them properly, with gratefulness and appreciation and understanding of what they are and how they're to be used. I don't need anything. I'm reminded of John 13 when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. You remember what Peter said when he came to him? Lord, you'll not wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have anything to do with me. And you remember what Peter said? Don't stop with my feet. I don't need anything. You don't need to help me. Well, if you don't let one of Jesus' servants help you, you're not going to let Jesus help you. Stop and think about that. Stop and think of what you're saying when you say to those who want to comfort or encourage or uplift or in some way assist you in something. No, it is not a measure of the fact that you have failed in anything. That's not what this is about. This does not signify a failure on your part because someone has to bring you a meal when you're sick. It signifies a love that lives through the life of Christ in their life and an opportunity for them to serve and extend the grace of God and thereby glorify God. The next time somebody wants to do something for you, think about it that way. And think about how if I receive these blessings properly, thankfully, gratefully, with an aim toward doing for others as well, we glorify God. We glorify God. And brothers and sisters, that's why we're here. That's why we're on the earth, is to glorify Him. There's no other greater purpose that we have. So what kind of receivers are we? This is something that can transform us. It shows the world through a process that brings no opportunity for pride or accomplishment that God blesses and changes lives undeservedly. He's not particular. What do you think would happen if each of us suddenly became a better receiver of gifts? The world would be more thankful to God. The world would be more attuned to God's blessings. The world would be less centered on self-accomplishment, pride, and self-promotion. The world would have a greater sense of the magnitude of the blessings we receive and their true purpose. And God would be glorified more. That's a worthy goal. As we work together, let's have an appreciative and grateful heart toward each other and anyone we can help, and gladly receive, and praise God when others do things for us. Let's get out our songbooks. I surrender all. It is that one, right? I surrender all. Jesus said in Luke 14, if you're not willing to give up everything, you can't be my disciple. This kind of fits in with the attitude we're talking about. Of understanding that the blessings we receive are not to be used for our own amusement. That doesn't mean that when God blesses us, we can't use the blessings He gives us. We do. But the real purpose of God blessing us is so we can be His servants, bring glory to Him, and use those to bless others. And that means surrendering our hold on all the things of this world. it's a hard thing to do. It will be a hard thing for you to do next Thursday when you are with family, friends, whoever it is you're with, and you have a thankful heart while we sit there and eat way too much food that we really don't need to eat and entertain ourselves. And I'm not being critical of family time. It is important. It's a blessed thing. I will be on Thursday eating too much, spending time with my children. But let's be mindful of how those blessings are received and what they're really for. They are really for God's glorification. The care that He has for us and the use to support and share with others. And there's plenty of people for us to share with. Let's stand up and sing.
Oh, Jesus, I